This is not a topic you'll find in the Shulchan Aruch. And the way I got into it was as follows. Someone asked me a question, about the Memorial Day for the victims of the Holocaust and Chavchan Nissan, isn't it supposed to be according to those who go only on Tisha B'Av or on Tera B'Teves or whatever. Well, that's a separate thing which we won't discuss here. That got going to the question about the Gedolim and the Shoah, and is it possible, or did it happen, that there's any blame to be affixed to the Gedolim in Europe for not foreseeing what was going to happen? And there's a great deal of heat disseminated in that question, you may or may not know. For what reasons, I'm not really sure why. Unless you start with certain assumptions on the question of whether a Gedolim can conceivably make mistakes. Now, that would seem to me, let's deal with that very, that's going to get us into our topic, but that is really the larger topic we'll discuss today. The place of mistakes in the higher stratosphere of Holocaust. Now, divide the topic of mistakes into three categories. One are simple day-to-day mistakes of a Baal Horah, and the mission is on that when it's in Choser, when it's in not Choser. No one disagrees that those type of mistakes can be made. And if you look in the read Shuvahs long enough, you discover that everyone makes mistakes, no matter who he is. This Horah, that the other Horah. And then it's me that proceeded to try to explain that you really have a basis for it, but the Achronim of the Gila, empathetic in this case, really made a mistake. Clear out. That's not the problem here. The problem here is dealing with things of a higher import, either because of the type of mistakes or because of who's making the mistakes. Now, the question of the Gedolim in Europe had to do with mistakes which deal with the future of Klal Yisrael, wealth of Klal Yisrael. Now, it does not seem to me to be any question here that the Gedolim are considered in the Talmud to be susceptible of making high class mistakes of this sort. You need to go no further than the Mishnah in, not the Mishnah, than the Gemara in Ezekiel in Gittin, which talks about Mishnei Anbun Sinosha of Parvin Akkos Sava Irena Vasatam Yashin Vid Nisan Marsainu. The excessive humility, whatever that may mean, or rather Parvin Akkos, was what a note gave to the destruction of the of Yerushalayim and the burning of the Ben Midrash and the Angolos, 2,000 years worthwhile, which translates into millions and millions of casualties. And it's really a rather amazing statement because it doesn't say because of this, that, or the other hate we were destroyed and the temple was destroyed. It says because of a mistaken leadership of Scribe and Alkalus. So we won't go into that too much. Anyone who wants to know everything to be known, there is to be known on that topic, can see what I wrote about it in my Sefer on a Mamar Hey called Laman Echrabai Cheney. But one can just point out as we go along a couple of interesting things. Rabbi Yochanan there says, a page later, the Gemara uses the exact same language in saying the Pnei Malchut HaRisha, the wicked kingdom named Iron, Chavai Reinu V'Safam G'Shenu V'Tanem Arsenu. Same language exactly, word for word. Which would seem to indicate that there more than one reason, there more than one factor went into the destruction of Beit Sheni, which is certainly true. And one can, in fact, put everything together, various sources, and say that there were three contributing causes to the Churban of Beit Sheni. And one of them, of course, was the enemy, the Romans. Without them, nothing would have happened. But another one was the incompetence of the halachic leadership at the time, as symbolized by Rav Chaim Nachlos, as the Gemara perfectly straightforwardly says. And the third are the various statements scattered around Masechet Shabbat and various other places about Lo Charva Yerushalayim Ela B'Pnei She Lo Danu Ba'Alfa Din Torah, or Bitlut Hanukot Shabbat Rabban, or there are half a dozen other statements. And the way to reconcile that with the others would have to be, again, a contributing factor, the difference between necessary and sufficient, reason and destruction. All of these were necessary. None of them were sufficient. You needed an enemy. You needed competent leadership. You also needed a sufficient level of chet in Am Yisrael to prevent the Kadosh Baruch Hu from intervening to save them from their mistakes. And unfortunately, that level of chet is always around. And I don't want to go further into that topic. I just want to say something new since I wrote the article, which is that the destruction of Beit Rishon is attributed to a mistake of Chaim Alkos, necessary capacity. Now, it would seem to me that Rabbi Akiva has something to do with the destruction of Yadut in Merit Bar Kokhba, which my grandfather always used to say. And only recently I realized that that's probably what the Gemara is saying. That's what Rabbi Akiva himself is saying. Now, in Gemara, in Babel and Sachin, you have Rabbi Akiva with the Doresh Etin. You know that? He would Doresh all extra words scattered around the Torah. And Et Hashem Lekecha Tira, what's the Et Vil? Rabot HaMichacha. That's well known. Less known is the Yushami and Sota, the same Brachot, which is in Perek Tet Halacha Hei, and the same Yushami exactly in Sota somewhere. Where you have the follows, Et Hashem Lekecha Tira, Otov Et Torato. Now, what does that mean? Now, the Mepharshim, for lack of a better explanation, would say that says that that's the same as Bavli, but it doesn't sound like it's the same as Bavli. One of them is Rabot HaMichacham, and here is Rabot HaTorah. Now, if you look in the context there, you find that that quote in the Yerushalmi is brought in both places exactly, precisely, directly after the description of Rabbi Akiva undergoing Mitzvah Kiddush Hashem. There's the business there when they're combing his hair with metal combs, and he's smiling. And Tunis Rupa says, "Are you out of your mind, or are you drunk, or drugged, or whatever?" And Rabbi Akiva says, "I'm neither. But," and this is the meaning of the Babli, "there are plenty of mitzvahs which maybe I couldn't fulfill, but this particular, I knew that all the mitzvahs I could fulfill if I had to, just didn't have the opportunity. Mitzvah Mitzvah Kiddush Hashem, I didn't know if I could fulfill if I had to. I didn't know if I'd be able to withstand the pressure, withstand the torture, really." You know, other Gemara, it's talking about Il Malay and Nagadul Hanan Mishael Barabazaria, you of the Impalche Davanazara, that if they would have tortured rather than just try to cast Inca first, which is an easy death, if they would have tortured them, they would have worshipped idols. So Rabbi Akiva called Yishalmi said that I never knew in my lifetime whether I would have the ability to withstand Mitzvah Kiddush Hashem. And now that I'm doing it and I'm able to survive, that's the wrong term, I'm able to persevere, I'm pleased at myself. Now right after that comes a statement, and if you consider that the Bavli introduces the command, the statement about the Rav's Chavin Alkulus by bringing the quote down, and the only other place in the Bavli where that pasuk is brought down is added onto it the phrase, and the connection is that, in fact, what was going on here is that Chavin Atlas was not sufficiently afraid that his particular Hora might bring a Purban, which in fact it did. So Asher Dem Pachet Amida, who is a very Parakti, watch out for the results of how you apply or understand or think you understand the Torah. So what Rabbi Akiva is saying here, as the Angoni Martyrdom, he probably said it beforehand, as Hashem Lekach Tira Otov Et Torah Toh, meaning that Rabbi Akiva was perfectly well aware that he supported Bar Kokhba because he thought, based on what he knew of the Torah, that Bar Kokhba was the Mashiach, as the Rambam said. That turned out to be not correct. Otov Et Torah Toh, be afraid of Bar Kokhba, be afraid of his Torah, be afraid that maybe you're not making the right conclusions, that at the whole goal, no matter who you are, you may be mistaken. Particularly be afraid, to translate the modern sense, that just because you're following somebody, Shita, some Rebbe, some Rav, some Yeshiva, some no matter what it is, and you're a faithful disciple to somebody's approach, that does not mean that going down to the end as of a faithful disciple is going to save Yadut or prevent the destruction of whatever it may prevent. Be afraid. And that is a very difficult lesson for anybody to learn, because what the people want above everything else is to be sure that if you only follow the proper formula and you do what is necessary and you do what you were told to do and you apply the lesson you learned from this Gemara or the other Gemara, then everything is safe. The Gosh Baruch will protect you. The Gosh Baruch will not protect you. And even such luminaries as Chavin Alkulus, Rabbi Akiva, and the others, according to the Gemara, in my opinion, what the Gemara is saying quite clearly, recognized, or others recognized for them, that their mistakes in applying the Torah to modern their contemporary circumstances brought colossal catastrophes on the Jewish people. A chastening thought. Continuing on this area, you don't really need to find other rayas that that Chachamim and the Gemara viewed other Chachamim as with the ability of making serious mistakes. One of the sources here has to do, again, in Gittin, with the story about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai predicting the emperorship of Vespasian. You know that story. And then he asked Tani Yavne b'Chachameha and Asfudin Rabbi Gamliel, and there's other things. Well, Rabbi Akiva, and some say Rabbi Yosef. Strange, some say. One's a Tana, one's a Mara. Rabbi Yosef, rather, say, I apply to that verse the statement, Mashiv Chachamim Achor, the Divayim Si Yisachar, meaning, and they say out that Rabbi Yoshua made, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai made a terrible mistake according to Rabbi Akiva. He should have asked for Yerushalayim. What are you doing asking for Yavne? I mean, he's dealing with nickels and dimes. He should have gone for the jackpot, and maybe he would have gotten somewhere. Now, Rabbi Yochanan didn't agree with him. Rabbi Yochanan thought that if he asked for too much, he'd get nothing. But that didn't stop the Gemara thing. That in fact, there's an Echa Rabbati which claims that Rabbi Yochanan in fact did ask for Yerushalayim. But our Gemara obviously does not have that particular tradition about Rabbi Yochanan said. Rabbi Akiva or Rabbi Yosef then thought that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made a fateful, a gorally mistake of the most basic order affecting the future of Klal Yisrael. There's nothing then seems to me unusual to be able to point to the Makoros themselves saying that the mistakes of the first magnitude are possible at the highest level. We may get back to that. The question though, when it really comes in its most pristine form, might be that the question of the Sanhedrin and Halakha carriers. Can the Sanhedrin make a mistake? That's what the story is about. That's what the discussion is about. Well, can the Sanhedrin make a mistake? I guess I'm supposed to refer to these sources here. So let's refer to some sources. I skipped two and three, or I'd rather verbalize three. Skipped verbalize one and two. Let's turn to 3A. Alright, this is the Chinuch HaMitzvah Tav Tzadik Vav, according to traditional numbering, which is not the original numbering. The Chinuch originally wrote in the Shadal edition, you have the way it was originally Mitzvah Tasei first and then Mitzvah Lo Tasei, but a couple hundred years ago they printed the Chinuch this way and jumbled them together, so you have anachronism about the Bible saying as I will write, so you wrote it already, as I will write, I wrote already when he has written it, yes, that's going to be where we have it. This is still the standard reference that everyone uses. So he's talking about why one has to follow the Balei HaKabbalah, which is Lo Tasur. He wrote it with all Mitzvot Asei in any Parsha first, and then Mitzvot Lo Tasei in any Parsha second. He bunched into divided it by Asei and Lo Tasei. First all Mitzvot Asei, then all Mitzvot Lo Tasei. Right. Azar Hamet Bar Shevach HaGadol, I'm reading the first major underlying segment. Amru Zachonam Vacha, Lo Tasur Mimenu Yamin Usmol, Afilu Yemulucha Yamin Shu Usmol, Lo Tasur Mitzvotam Klomer, Afilu Yu Hem Toim, B'Devar Achad Min Advarim. I notice he doesn't say, Afilu Yu Be'inecha, Afilu Tachshol Shehem Toim, any of the other languages which we'll play around with later on. He says quite clearly, Afilu Yu Hem Toim, even if they are mistaken. It is not proper for us to disagree with them, but we should do according to their mistake. No question here, according to the Chinuch, they make mistakes, that's not the problem. The problem, the question here, the principle here is what Truman said, the buck stops somewhere, and authority must be vested somewhere, and you can't have everyone doing what they want, and therefore the authority must be based on the Sanhedrin, as he goes on to say. Shatuliyam ta'im b'divar ha'chavna gorim, ein ro'ilam l'achlok alayhem avol naseket tu'utam. The Tov is bold to utachad that you call a hakom mesurin tachad sha'atam atov tamid v'lo shi'aser ke'kol achad v'achad k'pid atov sh'atazer yed churban hadat v'chaluk lei v'am v'yafseid el ma'ay. I'm assuming I have to translate. We are best to do their mistakes if it occasionally happens, because if we don't, everyone will do what they want. He says it elsewhere. Let's see. Next page.
Doesn't even believe that,
because he goes on to say that they made a mistake. It means that you shall ratify what they have to do, what they say, and you follow them. Even they are mistaken, so what? Obviously, you are mistaken. It's not shayach lamin lahem. What's lamin? It means to rely on them, to be samech on them. Kmo shekatavti lamala barosh haMitzvah kinyan shenahag Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua v'yom haKippurim shechal liyot b'chesbono kmo shemuzkar b'masechet Rosh Hashanah. This is a very interesting reference. We'll get back to. We'll go to this later on, probably more guests. The situation where we had Kiddush HaChodesh and a couple of Avim came and testified the impossible as far as where the Levana was, and Rabbi Gamliel accepted them anyway, and Rabbi Yeshua said, well, or somebody else said to Rabbi Yeshua, how can they testify that a woman is unpregnant and her sub and shinah? It was quite clear that they were either sheker, and this gave to the great incident of Rabbi Yeshua being summoned to appear on the day of Israel Yom Kippur, on the day when once Rabbi Gamliel wasn't in Yom Kippur. Anyway, the Kappa Gimayon to hear is the fact that there was no question that Rabbi Gamliel actually was the second. See him. Look at that Gemara. No one denies that. They simply offer a Greek Gemara saying, saying that in Kiddush HaKodesh, But there's no question that some of the mistake was made. So even though there is no parallelism because of that brightness, it's not the Dinam Lo Kasur altogether. It's a technical aspect that Chodesh has nothing to do with what's up there in the sky. It has to do with who said when the Chodesh is, which is a unique halakha to Kiddush HaKodesh. But the Kaf Dimayon is, in the reference of what the Chinuch was saying here, Ha'eich Hatzil Atziv Ani Odeya B'Vaday Shehem Toim. How can I do what they want, even though they absolutely, no question, whatever, are mistaken? And then he brings the Kaf Dimayon to Rabbi Yeshua Gamliel. There's no question that Rabbi Yeshua was mistaken. You know, in other cases, in other aspects, things were not quite the same. It's not a riot. That's why it's only a kappa dimyon. That's why we'll get to Shavel later on. And we could use Shavel Chinuch and the Shavel Ramban, whatever it is. The Ramban brings it down, and Shavel says, "Well, it's not really the same." Well, of course, not really the same. So then, for what purpose is he bringing it? I didn't bring it for that purpose. Not to illustrate the fact that you have to listen to Chachamim. To illustrate the fact that they do what they say. That we're talking about circumstances of even vadai of certain mistakes. 4a. Mitzvah Ayin Chet, Achrei Rabim Lahakot, the underlying lines, follows a majority ruling, Afilu Im Lo Yavone Lefamim El Hemet Chalila, even if occasionally they're incorrect. Alehen Yachatat Velo Aleinu, it's their problem and not ours. Now, the Chinuch brings down a very interesting raya for this whole business that Chachamim make mistakes from the matter of Tanur Dachnai and Bob Messiah. See where it is. Five. Okay, the next one. Right, and you know the circumstances there. Rabbi Eliezer and the rest of the Chachamim have disagreement on Tanur Dachnai, and Samuch Kolbein Chuliyot Chuliyot. It was chopped into bits, into slices, which made it tahor because it wasn't clean anymore. And they put sand between the sections and tried to put it back together again. Rabbi Eliezer says no good, doesn't work, so it's tahor. It's still not a kli. And Chachamim says it's tameh, it is a kli. And then Rabbi Eliezer says if I'm right, Harud Yochiyah and the the carob tree fell down, the water flowed backwards, because the walls of the Beit Midrash started falling down, but they didn't go all the way because of the Kibbutz Rabbi Yeshua, so they stayed sort of in the middle. And finally, Batko came out and said, why argue Rabbi Eliezer over halacha could Rav Kol b'chol makom? And Rabbi Yeshua said, there's no loshem of Batko, pay no attention to heavenly, the day of the Mashiach is here. Kfar matat Torahcha, achareimim latot, lo b'shamayim hi, there's no longer in heaven, we're not interested in what heaven happens to think of a disagreement, we go according to our own opinion. And the Chino goes on to say, in explaining this, I may have left out the page.
It's 3A, right.
Perusha Devar Hu, the last major section, the middle of page 12. So Machlokah Bazeh Sheyel Rabbi Nezrim Chavirav HaMeth HaYak Rabbi Yehudah. He was right. Because of Rabatko, Shechriya Kimoto. Bapapisha Yahemetito, Bezer, Bizron, Tupulosh, Al Chavirav, Loya Dulusov Dato, they didn't understand him. He was too deep for them. Lower two Lahodos, so they took safety in numbers. Lower two Lahodos, Lidvarav, Afilu Achre Batko. The Vira Yamina Dina Kabur, Bitarash, Tibenu Lalecha, Achreya Bin Laholam, Ben Yamu Emet, Afilu Toin. Sitting here with a Shita all the way along. Valde Shiva, Bered, Barachu, Kuri Banai, Komar, Acharshe, Not Imi Derach, Emerino, the dead wrong. Shabakibu Haya Uaya Mukuban Duze Elemet Behem Ba Imala Mikok Mitzvata Torah to Zimu Shmuel Harov Lolam Him came a couple of Yisra Dodla Emba Pamadol Kitzvah Gvim Shkeh Emet Nederet. In this case halacha is you don't go by the Emet, you go by the Sheker. Harezik Ilu Baal Emet Yitzah Baal Emet Nikolaj Baruch Hu, I lost, what can I do? I may be right, but the jury held otherwise. Alright, now that is a very interesting raya. Of course, the raya depends on assuming that the machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi and everybody else was in fact what the Gemara claims it was. And my grandfather, the Salah, asked the key question, which is that if you look at it in this way, you ask the question. But the question was, what is the difference between this machloket, the Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, and half a dozen or a dozen to 300 other machloket around Shas? In fact, just in Tara, where this original machloket is, you find six other machlokos in Yanim of Tum of Atara, in which once again Rabbi Yezer Mitzahir Rachamim Mitzamim, forgetting about when it's reversed and other things in Bakshir and other places around the Shas, you have 30 or 40 machlokas of this sort. Why on this particular machlokas do you have all these missing and flowers? That is obviously the key question. On the basis of this question, almost all the parishes you've ever seen on this go out the window. And the what has to be explained, which my grandfather went ahead and explained, is that what's going on here is in fact quite a different machloket under the scene. This is no ordinary halakha controversy. Tanur Dachnai was not as important. This represented, in fact, something of gravest import to the future of the nation, and that's why you had all of these nisim that flows going on. And my grandfather just put in a plug for the second Bible subbing, which is coming out hopefully in a month or two. We'll find this there, in which he went on to explain that, in fact, the argument here was whether to go and have the war with the Romans or not. And Rabbi Eliezer was the taher, meaning that you can't do it. You can't put Hamzi Zanzi back together here. You can't reconstitute the third Jewish Commonwealth. Therefore, the Khalid says, Tor. Rabbi Yehudah said, yes, you can. Therefore, it's Tameh. Now, that, of course, is a question of which affected the Gor Ahava on Yisrael Kula. And on that basis, you had all the signs and the seeming of the flaws and everything else. You think about that, and you get a whole shita on how to approach various agados in the Gemara. And no question that derek is correct, because, again, the question is incontestable. How do you explain what went on? You can't simply say, take it as you do normally, though, if you don't bother looking outside the figure you're dealing with. How do you possibly explain why these reasonable flows happen here and nowhere else? And you must say that something else is going on under the surface. There are a couple of problems, though, with that particular approach. One is that if you're talking about having war with the Romans, the upshot will be that Rabbi Eliezer is right and a couple of million Jews will be killed. It's very hard to imagine the Kodesh Baruch Hu smiling and saying, Nitzchuni Banai. To be crying and saying, Nitzchuni Banai. I mean, you can't really smile at that. There's no. Another problem is that the main protagonist against Rabbi Eliezer is Rabbi Yeshua. Now, Rabbi Yeshua in Reshi Rabbah, I think it's Samad Dalit, was in fact a person who was a moderate. Thus, he was against a war with the Romans. And that wouldn't fit in with an air of being for a war with the Romans. I have a slightly different explanation that's in the same Derech. And I wanted to say that the Machloket here is the Machloket which we find in Sukkim. Here I'll leave Rabbi Akiva. And I have that source here somewhere. Let's find Sukkim. Sukkim 6. Ezu derech lechalkamen amadim lechutz v'lemacharat u'lebidatel lecharuach v'lei Rabbi Akiva. As far as the field of courage, if you don't come and bring a car on Tetzach, derech lechalkam. And what is the Derech HaKar? Rabbi Kiva says 15 miles. Rabbi Lezo says, Apilu mi Askufat HaZerav HaLachutz. What do you say here? Right. In Gemara, there's another version of Rabbi Eliezer saying, Apilu mi Achomah HaLachutz. In any case, the difference between these two is as follows. That Rabbi Akiva says that the question of when are you considered part of Klal Yisrael as far as the field to bring a carbon Pesach is an objective one. If you're physically able, or you're in an area, question the Somali and the traffic jams, leave those aside, the more it talks about them, but in principle, if you're physically able to get to the Beit Mikdash in time, meaning you're within 50 miles when the sun rises, then you are considered part of Klal Yisrael, and whether you like it or not, you better bring the carbon Pesach, or else, or you're going to need a Kari. Rabbi Eliezer says, no, it's a voluntary thing. You can be on the opposite side of the doorpost of the Beit Mikdash, or the Azura. And you can walk across if you want to. If you don't want to, you're considered Derech HaKokah. It's a volitionary act, but you have to want to be part of Klal Yisrael in terms of wanting to be the carbon pesa. Now, translated that perhaps into the other Jelle Machloket, maybe what they were disagreeing about, though about a bit of a rather basic sort, would be the question of whether a person is considered part of Klal Yisrael with the assuming obligations against his will or not. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yakiva, and Rabbi Yeshua, and the others say that if the majority decides on some source of policy, then everyone has to go along. You coerce the individual, it's not up to him. He's able to participate in whatever effort, and here they're not necessarily with the war effort, although the key, obviously, in doing anything of importance is the ability to coerce the individual doing what everyone else does. And Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Eliezer says, no, it's up to the individual. If he doesn't want to be part of it, he doesn't want to be part of it, no matter what you do. Go their own way. And this is the idea of fully, can you put Jewish people back into one unit by taking the individual parts of the field and together, and no matter what they want, they're considered one tongue or not. And this is a question of the greatest import which you could have on this unit of law. It's not directly a question of whether to have a war or not, otherwise you can't have a war at all unless you agree with Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yeshua, sorry, Rabbi Akiva anyway, that the individual is not up to him to decide whether to part of Klal Yisrael. But it's a objective factor. All right, enough of that. Now, this is a chinuch which is not too much taught in yeshiva circles. Much more taught in yeshiva circles is the famous Ramban on the page, dealing with Lot Asur. So let's take a look at the Ramban on the page. First, let's take a look at Lot Asur. And this will be page 8. Oh wait, first look at page 7. Let's see what the Ramban has to say in Sefer Mitzvot. Everything the Chinuch says virtually in Sefer Chinuch, he gets from the Ramban, has to go in the Sefer Mitzvot, the Mitzvot Bet. And here we go, let's see. The second major line. Ki ala mashmuot shalahem hu mitzvah and mitzvah and atam and atena and atorah yom ha shamru afilo amrim al smol shu yamin al amin shu smol shikachu mitzvah mi lalu mi adon akorah. As you remember, the Chinuch said this in his language, he could took it right from here. Miron tzor yit barach shalo yamo bal machloket eich hatir la atmi zev anochi yodea bevaday shehen toim. Same language of the Chinuch, word for word. Aldinei namar lacha bekach atam mitzvah וכניין שנהג רבי יהושע עם רבי גמליאל ביום הכיפורים שלך להיות בחשבונו. That's the Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvot, and that's the source of the Chinuch. Now, there's a slightly different Ramban, it would appear, you have on the Chumash. Let's take a look at the Chumash. This is in Parsha Dvarim, and here you have the text of the Torah here. Ki yipalei pasuk chet, ki yipalei mucha davar l'mishpat bein dam l'dam bein din l'din bein negel l'negel divay ribot b'sharecha v'kam tevalit ala makom ha-sheifa ha-shem אלוקח הבא ואת אל הכהנים הרדין אל השפט יחי בנים ההם ודרשת ויגידו לך את דבר המשפט ועשית על פי הדבר אשר יגידו לך מן המקום ההוא אשר יוכר השם ושמרתי לעשות ככל אשר ירוך Rambam, same page. Yamin or small? Afiru amar lachal yamin shu small or al small shu yamin or son Rashi. Notice that Rashi also doesn't say afiru tachshav benecha. He tells you the right is left and that is right. Nevertheless, listen to them. In you know afiru tachshav, but here he sticks in lachshav. Afiru tachshav libcha shehem toin. But the word pashut benecha kasher ata yodeh ben yimincha l'smolcha. תעתק מצוותם ועל תמר איך אוכל החלק הגמור הזה או הרוג האיש הנקי הזה. Let's stop right there. Does anyone notice a problem with the statement איך אוכל החלק הגמור הזה? Something very strange about this illustration Rambam brings down here. This is the attitude of Sefer Mitzvah. Do what they say, even if they tell you that trait meat is kosher meat.
You don't have to eat it.
You don't have to eat it. I mean, if they tell you kosher meat is straight meat, so shavinu isura kvai isura, you can't eat it. But if they tell you kosher meat is straight meat, straight meat is kosher meat, there's no meat to eat the meat. So why should you go and eat the meat? Right. Now, I'll tell you where the Rambam gets this from, it seems to me. He gets this from the Masechta Rosh Hashanah. Let's look at that. Let's see what page it is. Next page, number 9. Alright, what's missing is the beginning of the Mishnah there, where the two Edim came and they testified, about the Levana. Amar of Yochanan ben Nuri, Adei Shekerheim, Kishabol Adei Shekerheim. Kishabol Liyavni Kibun Rabbi Gamliel, when it came to Yavni Rabbi Gamliel, accepted their testimony. Va'od Voshnam, another case, Vamru Rainu of his Mano, Valeli Barov, Lonirev, we saw him in time, and then the next day when the cloud was sky, we know to be seen. The Kibru Rav Gamliel, Amar Rav Dosman Herkunas, Adei Shekerheim, Heich Meidim Al Aisha She Yalda, Ul Machar Kaseh Ben Shana, not the way I said. How they testify the woman gave birth already, and we see tomorrow she's still pregnant. Amar Lo Rav Yeshua, Re'a Ni Etzvarecha. Rav Yeshua said, absolutely, you're absolutely right, no way. So what happens next? Shalacha Rav Gamliel, Gozrani Alecha Shetavo Etzli B'makalcha U'B'me'otecha B'yom Kikrim Shechal Yod B'chesh B'necha. Now what's strange about this? Let's answer the question. Now that I answered the question, we'll see the answer. Was that the Rechel? Because once again, he's a Rabbi Kiyo, Rav Gamliel doesn't tell him, don't be Mechal Al Yom Kippur on the day which I insist Rav Gamliel Yom Kippur is. He says, be Mechal Al Yom Yom Kippur. What does he care? There's anyway nowadays, well, rarely, but there used to be people who would fast 2 days of Yom Kippur because it's like the Arch. So Rabbi Yoshua wants to become 2 days Yom Kippur, why not? And Rabbi Gamliel wants to be sure Rabbi Gamliel doesn't violate Yom Kippur according to Rabbi Gamliel's Chishuv. So what is going on here? What is going on here is that there is a mitzvah on occasion to do with the Bezdin or whatever it is, the Baal HaRah. Muvav Gadol B'Dorah says, even in the anim of Heter, in other words, chumras don't always work. And those who say that you go around and machmirin also, well, here we're talking about real issues to be machmirin. But those who go around machmirin also to say, because they do it publicly, and think of midah chasedis, what it really is, tilkul HaRah. But they're doing destroying the rabbinate and wherever they happen to be. And this is what's going on here. Rabbi Gamliel was very concerned. He wanted to be sure that no one gets the idea to be cholek on a Beit Din Gadol, or on his Beit Din, whatever it was. He was the Nasi. And therefore, he commanded Rabbi Yeshua to demonstratively mevatel his hara, even though in terms of halacha, who cares? Okay, someone doesn't agree. Yes.
No. This is not particularly only apply to the Gadol and the
Well, we'll get to that later, but the whole question about the surah may not apply today. So that's later on, but it's Kavah Chomer anyway. Yeah.
Just a little up here. Rabbi Gamliel asked Yeshua to bring to the Bible his own
church. That's right.
So I don't understand. So he's asking him to do what he considers in other areas, like Harvard.
That's right.
So I don't understand what he's
Well, same thing as Rabbi, same thing as the Rambam. I'm saying, what does Rabbi Gamliel care about that? All Rabbi Gamliel decides that Monday is Yom Kippur, and Rabbi Yeshua decides that Tuesday is Yom Kippur. All Rabbi Gamliel should care about is that Rabbi Yeshua does not violate Monday Yom Kippur. Because that's Rabbi Yeshua's Horah. But Monday is Yom Kippur, so he said, Rabbi Yeshua, you had better not eat on Monday. I don't care what you do on Tuesday. Don't eat Monday. Monday is Yom Kippur. I don't care if you think Tuesday is Yom Kippur. But that's not what he said. He said, eat on Tuesday. Think about Tuesday. If Monday is Yom Kippur, there's a mitzvah not to eat on Monday. There's no mitzvah yet. What is the only mitzvah? Hey, don't say, how can I listen to what a Beit Din HaGadol says? And this is the Rambam. That's where he gets it from. Yeah.
Could this be a special case because the Kemi Abedin was in there, especially because the Kishimar stopped when he left the community?
Well, I mean, you said he wasn't, maybe he did, but it seems, in other words, it seems to me it's a sort of Rabban.
I don't know how to
all things talk to Rabban. Well, I couldn't go into that because the question is where there's a Shizu Rabban. What's that about? Take your staff and your coins and sell this question to them. And there's a lot of discussion.
The
answer
to you is don't do it my bunch of money.
You avoided that. Yeah, you avoided that. All right. But that gets into the question of whether still is going to go right or not. They are calling to start with the Mishnahis and they're looking at the young children and work back and it's not a discussion that often.
They're all coming their
way to the Rabbi Leo. Not wrong. I'm saying Rabbi Leo is making a point to not just to look after his Hurrah, but to ask Rabbi Yoshua demonstrably accept authority. Even in a non halakhic kind
of thing. And Rambas, they say
what Rambas was wrong, they even mention the case of Manishala, he did respond here. Well, they don't say the word wrong, they say high-handed, cruel, etc. Wrong is not the term used in the Gemara. Didn't go well with the populace at the time, right?
But that's Rambas.
There are many problems. I'm simply saying it's a very good source of the Rambas. And that's probably where it gets it from. Otherwise, the question is this. What is this? Eat chalas. Why eat chalas? Don't eat anything.
Why not?
That's the point. Exactly. Because if you didn't publicly demonstrate
one way or another, for somebody
who's
in the public eye.
Well, that's exactly what we're talking about. Yeah, exactly. I mean, just saying what I said. So keep your kumras private. Alright. Now, back to the Ramban here. Previous page, number 8b. Oh, what's the next case? The next case is Eicha Arol Adam Naki Eshroch. What's the phrase? Eicha Arol Isha Naki Azeh. Now, Mr. Summer, we're not talking about a Shliach Beit Din. I mean, we told you to ask about somebody. That's not shy. It's a Shliach Beit Din to know what you're talking about. What is probably being discussed is that the Beit Din was decided, not in a particular case, it decided on a certain Malacha as a Malacha. That activity A is in Lacham Shabbos, and therefore activity is Chayav Nisa. And then somebody in your local city does that activity, you can bet it's all wrong, it's not in Lacham Shabbos. Nevertheless, forget your opinion and try the fellow on the basis of the Hora of the Nagoda. That's what's being discussed. So don't say, how can I prosecute this fellow when I didn't think he did anything at all? Well, the Bedin at all think he did something wrong, and therefore your job is not to say, Eich Ero Ga'isha Naki Azeh, or anything with a certain Kurva, Lila, whatever it is, go according to the guidelines that they lay down. I don't think it's being talked about a situation that the Beit HaNagoda with Mora was go there, didn't meet on anybody. That's not really what they do most of the time, except very rare cases, like in memory, whatever it is. But based on their harah, you think it's erroneous that you are, as your local authority, you are obligated to implement it. Well, implement it, and don't say, I'm going to be a tzaddik. And, well, there's a lot of ways, of course, to get out of being. To kill anybody, you know the Mishnah Makot, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon, this is after us, no one ever get killed. You can be marbin, drishna, hakiros, and all sorts of legal minutiae, and it's very easy to get around things, and so don't. Make a point. Hara comes down from on top that this is a chayav mitzvah thing, you see it, you do it. You see that you enable it, kill the guy. Otherwise, you have to follow what they're doing. A very, very important point the Ramban is making here about the necessity to how should we phrase it? Halakha discipline must be seen, not only done. Further on the Ramban. Now this sounds very much like the Ramban in Sefer Mitzvot and like the Chinuch in Sefer Chinuch. Zekin Yad Rabbi Yeshua Rabbi Gamliel B'Yom HaKippurim Shechol Yotze Cheshbon. We've already mentioned that the Kapodimion errors are once again outright mistake. Still, you have to follow what the person has to say, even though it's not quite parallel. Now let's skip a few lines to the next column. Ki al dach shalahem hu notein lano atzara afinu yed beinecha kamachlit yamin esmol. Now here we have the word afinu yed beinecha kamachlit yamin esmol. Sifre. Source number 13. לא תשום לתורה שירוך, יגידו לך מכאן לא תעשה, ימין ושמאל, אפילו מראים בעיניך על ימין של שמאל ועל שמאל של ימין שמאליהם. אפילו מראים בעיניך. This would probably be the source of the Ramban's line, which אפילו יהיה בעיניך, כמחליט ימין ושמאל. We'll get back to that shortly, just make a note of that. Because the ten sheesh lecha lachshov shehem amrim al yamin shehu yamin. Ki ruach Hashem al mishorto, al mishortei mikdasho, v'lo yadov et chasidav le'olam nishmaru min ha-tarut min ha-mechshov. These are psuki melitza zon yichezkel. Lashon sifrei afilu marim be'inecha al yamin shehu smol v'al smol shehu yamin. All right. That's the Ramban. Which says, that in fact I didn't make a mistake. You should think I didn't make a mistake because Ruch Hashem HaMeshachot Tamid, the Ruch HaKodesh is always on those who stand before Him. They are always saved from a mistake and from a stumbling block. Yeah. Well, now wait a second. We thought we were, but then the Ramban at the end of it seems to say they can't make mistakes. Now that is a very good point. You can't have it both ways. You pointed out that Tachshol is used in two cases. First of all, what's the first Tachshol? Afilu Tachshol b'Livcha Shehem Toin. And the second Tachshol is. Right. Now, it would seem to me that a certain degree of literary parallelism would indicate that you can't say that the first machshov means just think, but it's not really the case. And the second machshov means think and it really is the case. You see what I'm saying? In other words, what is the Ramban saying at the end of this? He's saying, Koshken, you should think. Does that mean that, in fact, that is the case? Or is he saying, you should consider to think that? That, yes, he agrees, does he agree with the chinuch or not? The chinuch says, absolutely they make mistakes, but someone has to make the decision. Now, either the Ramban agrees, now the Ramban is sefer mitzvot, agrees with the chinuch, at least it would seem to, that's the chinuch got his word from. Here, the Ramban, in the beginning of his word there, also seems to agree with the chinuch. The end of his words, he agrees in that they never make a mistake. So, which is it? Do they make mistakes or don't they make mistakes? Do you follow what they do because you have to, whether they make mistakes or not? Or do you follow what they do because they can't make mistakes? Now, halacha of the other fellows to do anyway, but of course we're just getting back to the question of going in Europe, and the whole question of Das Torah, and that type of problem, which is a great current from our society, which is, do they make mistakes or not? So what is the Rambam saying? What do you think he's saying? How should we read the Rambam?
I think he's not focusing on the interpretation of Lachshov, but on the interpretation of mistake. That even if it doesn't fit with reality, what they say is correct, no matter what, even if it's not reality. But because they say it, then it becomes
That doesn't fit with the Sifri after. Yesh HaLachshov Sh'Agdin Shu Yamin. When Halacha comes out, do what they say. But the question is whether they're calling right, left, left, right, or not. They have to be certain, they have not have to be certain. Yeah. Basically, that's what the person wants to do. Yeah, but that's not the question here. That's Chinuch agrees with that also. The question is the Ramban making an apodictic statement saying that Chacham cannot make a mistake? Listen, half the Jewish people, the Chiba world, thinks that that's what the Ramban is saying. It's not 90% of them. And that's why that's why I'm spending time in this Ramban. Is he saying that he can't make mistakes? He's not saying that.
look at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, it's not just trying to be Matthew and Rashi. Rashi said that people Rashi said by the Buddha, like, even if they are making mistakes, they still have to follow it. Rashi said, you know, to take that, that people might be mad and say, wait, then comes to Ramban and says, no, people are making mistakes, but if they actually are making mistakes, not only pretend they get the attention on the same way, you have no deep root in them. You can see the Buddha, Rashi,
who says you have no kids with them that make mistakes?
You know, because that's the question. I mean,
All right. Let's get on to the Yerushalmi. There is the Yerushalmi here, which also isn't very close to the Yeshiva Sichos, and that you'll find here on number 14. Second line underlined. Yecholim yomrulachal yaminshu small val smoshu yaminshmalahem. You might think, strangely enough, that if they tell you right is left and left is right, you should do what they say. No. Tavud lamala lefet yaminu small. Shemrulachal yaminshu yamin val smoshu small. If they tell you the right is right and left is left, fine. If they don't, ignore them. Now this is would seem to mean that you remove the sifra, right? Let's take a look back and see what the gist is. If you find a gist of anything, you've got to be careful. Yeah, what do you find in the
picture?
What number are you looking at? So you're looking at the left side or the right side? The notes of the left side. Nine. Marim, Gomer, Benecha, Masif, Amin, Yin, and Small, Shu. Content around. Alright, so the Yerushalmi would seem to disagree with the Sifra. Yeah. Alright, now various Achronim bring this down, Torah Tmim among others, and they make the Torah Tmim, on the good being a rationalist, has a great deal of problem in the idea that you could possibly be commanded to follow the sentence of the Hagim Stay. So he says, in fact, that's not the case, that the difference is that the Bavli is talking about a situation, not the Bavli, the Sifra, he's talking about a situation, not just the Torah Tmim, also I think the Hagim says it in Rosh Hashanah, various other honey say. That in the first case, the Sifri is talking about a situation where it seems to be that they're making a mistake, and it certainly wouldn't appear to be the case, but there is some sort of doubt, a residual doubt that maybe in fact they're not mistaken. I mean, all the evidence seems to be they are making a mistake, but there's still a little bit of suffix there. And since there is a little bit of suffix, therefore you give them all the credits that you mavatel your off. So what is your Shami talking about? Shami talking about there's absolutely no doubt whatever that they are actually making a mistake, which is ignored. Now that is a very difficult way of doing it. Because how exactly do you, obviously when you think that they're mistaken, when you're sure that they're mistaken, you're thinking that they're sure that they're mistaken. I mean, what type of psychology is dealing here? The things when you're absolutely sure and you're not absolutely sure, where do you put the mind? It's a very difficult thing to say here. Plus, these are all based on the... I'll get to that later maybe. It's a Rambam, which seems to indicate that. Don't forget that the Ramban is talking about that when they call you, they say the Shoman is Chelev, and Chelev is Shoman. That's Matthias. We're talking about Matthias in the beginning. I mean, that's the Ramban. The Ramban is applying that to the Sifra, not to the Yerushalmi. So the Ramban is saying that the Sifra means you even make a mistake in Matthias, follow it. And the Torah Tmim has a great deal of difficulty with it, and he simply just brushes aside and couldn't mean that, ignore it. But that's. What? You say that Ramban made a mistake. Yeah, alright. It's whatever it is, not a very good answer, it seems to me. Plus, the language of here, which is based on the fact that the Sifra says, Afilu marim be'inecha. So, from which you can say, marim be'inecha means it seems to be in your eyes that they're saying yamin small. That's where this comes from. As both you shall me, Yechol, Shemulacha, Yemin, Shemul, Yemin, Shemul, Yemin, and they say, not Marim, Be'inecha, they say out that right is left, left is right, then ignore them. So that's the basis on which this particular explanation is based on. It's a typical saying from Makoros. So let me see if I can. I wrote down a number of them here. Let's see if I can find it. All right. Now this type of thing appears in a couple of different places in Chazal. In Shir Shirim Rabba Perak Aleph, Sotot Bet, on the Pasuk Ki Tavim Ledecha, there they don't have this dichotomy between Marim and Echa. There they simply say straight out, Apilu Yom Ru, Ali Min Shul Smo, Vasmo Shul Yomin. Right? Follow this. So there is no basis for saying, from the language anyway, that that's only when you think it's the case. I mean, you can stick it in if you want to, but the language is simply, they say that your right is left, they say that your left is right, nevertheless, shlava kola. It's a sifre without the language of Marim Beinach. This also is in the Drash Tanaim and Drash Agadah Sefer Dvarim, two other places. Let's see, Akut Shimoni over there has a filum marin al yamin shu smol, which sort of sounds like marin al yamin shu smol. Doesn't say marin beinecha, the language beinecha is left out. By the way, when am I supposed to finish? What's the schedule? 2:30. Rashi, of course, quotes the Sifrei straight out without the marin beinecha, filum amar lecha. It says, Rasham Sifrei, filum amar beinecha. That doesn't fit in. We've already seen the Chinuch, which also quotes the Sifrei. In other words, all these Makoros and Chazal and Rishonim don't quote that key language of Marim Beinach and the Sifrei. They simply say in the Sifrei, they bring the Sifrei to say that they say right is left, they say right is left, right is left is right, right is left, do what they say anyway, without saying if it seems in your eyes, I feel Marim Beinach. That is found in a couple of Makoros, but not in the other half. Another thing we said Makoros. Similarly, the Ramban Sefer Mitzvot, which we looked at, also doesn't bring down that particular language in the Sifrei. There's a note here that I should look up what's in the Rashbach. Shuz Rashbach Chelik Bet Simam Shin Chav Bet. We have another Lashon here brought down. The whole assumption that the language of Marim Beinecha means it seems to you, but it really isn't the case, is Mufukpak, it seems to me, and because you can bring all sorts of sukkim, such as in Devarim Paragimel, Enecha Haraot Et Asher Asa Hashem, etc. And there are other things where if you see in your eyes, it means that in fact it is the case, and doesn't seem to, is not for the purpose of indicating there's some doubt there that you see in your eyes, and maybe it's not really what you see there is. So this is simply for the purpose of establishing. The language of Sifta Zutrati says Dome Beinecha. Well, once again, the language number one, the language of Beinecha, in my opinion, establishes nothing whatever. Second, half the Makoros don't mention Beinecha at all. And they simply say that even they say right is left, that is right to what they say. And therefore, you certainly have no textual basis for the chiluk of the Kida and the Torah Tmima to distinguish between one that means it seems to you, it appears in your eye, and when actually the case, there seems to be no basis in saying that. Yeah?
The possible in the Baron, that doesn't seem to indicate that it's going back to some historical event, it would be impossible to interpret it.
It occurs to you that you saw this event. Simply textually, there's no source to, there's no force to interpret the Sifrei based on the particular language of the Inecha, of Marim Beinecha, where saying that that indicates that it's only a sleight of hand that you're finding to be correct. Now, so what do we do? We'll get back to Rabban shortly, but first let's deal with the Sifrei and Yerushalmi. How do you reconcile them?
Well, there's a statement in the Gemara Sanhedrin that says that Dayanim can only base their decision on Mashayin Nai Ro'ot.
And the Dayanim Mashayin Nai Ro'ot. Right? Yeah. Right. Okay.
So maybe...
That's neutral. say. Now, how do I explain the Sifra and Yerushalmi? As follows. The beginning, the Yerushalmi is the beginning of Harayot. And the first mission Harayot has to do with page. Let's find it. Page 15?
After page
14. All right. 15 is after page 14. Well said. Haru Beit Din, Amor Al-Achat Mikol Ha-Torah, etc. Next. Beit Din, Haru Beit Din, Yada Achat Mehem Shita'u, O Tamid Shehu Ra'u Ila Ho-Ra'a, Falach Basa Piyam, Bein Shatsa Basa Imehem, Bein Shatsu Basa Yachari, Achareem, Bein Shalo Asu Basa, Arei Zachayam, Bein Shalo Asala Bereti. In other words, if he knew that they made a mistake, and he did it anyway, then he's chayav chatas because he wasn't told of a bad thing. He knew that he didn't think it was right. He told of anything, he think bad thing is right. He knew that he was told that, as the Gemara on the second page says, marvelously, ta'ab mitzvah mishmo de rechachami. He had the mistake of thinking that you're supposed to do everything chachamim say when they make a mistake. Alright. Now, right on this Mishnah comes the Yerushalmi, which says that Philip Ruben Achad Mishu Yemin Bas Moshu Small, should do the same, nothing doing. Tamud Lamar Mishu Small Moshu Yemin, only if they say right, and left. It is explicating the Mishnah. It is explaining this particular Chacham who knows. In the case of the Chacham who knows that the Beit Din made a mistake, here is where the Yerushalmi is saying you should think that just because they made a mistake, you've got to follow them, nothing doing. Don't follow them. The Sifri is talking about everybody else. The Yerushalmi is talking about the Chacham Shagil Ara, and there's no Sira, whatever. Now, I was pleased to find that the Ramban also said this. Turns back to the Ramban in Sefer Mitzvot. Anyone follow that particular point? I think it's reasonably clear. Ramban and Sefer Mitzvot, page 7. About the middle, where the horizontal line is, middle of the page. Yes, it's at Tnai. Yitronein bo amistakel b'mishon shel harayot. You take a good look at the beginning of harayot, which they're talking about. He's referring to the Yerushalmi here. He doesn't say it. Bein yaseh. He looks very carefully. V'hu she'im haya b'zman t'nizim chacham ro'i lo hara'a v'aru beit din agadol b'davar achad lehetera v'hu sover sh'ta'u b'horatan ein alav mitzvah l'shmo d'var chachamim. V'no rashai la'atir la'atmo d'var asulo. But in Ak Chomer Latzmo, this is until he can meet with them and thrash it out. Kosh Kenny Mayam, a Kalatan, a Zun, Yoshi, and a Beit Nagano. It seems to me the Ramban is referring to that particular Yerushalmi, and that's exactly what he's saying. It's Nai. The Sifra says you have to follow what they're doing. There is one exception. The exception is if you happen to be Chacham Shegil Ara, in which case you don't follow what they do and make a mistake on this, so you go back and thrash it out, and then you go back to Rabbi Matot. That's another category altogether. And then I was pleased to find out that Rabbi Kasher in Torah Shleim or someplace also mentioned this. I have it written down somewhere. I point out that the Ramban was referring to this Yerushalmi. So that seems to me the explanation of Yerushalmi here. I would want to make a parenthetical point which is of interest because of the methodological nature of it, which was that Yerushalmi said as follows. Page 14. Wait a second. Is it 14? No. No, page 16. There is a din here which comes from this Yerushalmi, which is that who is in the category of someone who's befalik in the Sanhedrin, better follow them if he knows better. You have to be a Talmid Chacham. What type of Talmid Chacham? The way most Achronim learn this out is that he doesn't have to be Mushlam, he can be even Gmir below Savir or Savir below Gmir. He may be Gmir, that that's written here if you look four lines down. Imai Abamina, Animila Gmir, Savir, Abel Gmir below Savir, Lo Tali, Lo, Tanarui, La Ra. Meaning that even if someone isn't fully baked, that he is a Tami, but he's still a Tami, so he's not completely Gamir or not completely severe. Nevertheless, he's not allowed to follow the ruling of the Bible, if I'm mistaken. The Rambam doesn't mention any of this. He simply says on number 17a, bottom of the page, Medvei Mamorim. So we don't care what the person thinks that they did is mistaken. The only doubt you have to be taken into consideration of is if somebody's wrong to sit there in the Sanhedrin. Then if you think that they're mistaken, you can't follow what they do. But everyone else may think, you or I, but we don't pay any attention to what we think because there's no value in our thoughts anyway. Now, looking here in the Lecha Mishnah, he mentions as follows. Chamo tamid shegil hara, b'gmara amrusham dafilu gamir v'lo savir, v'savir v'lo gamir. The Rambam leaves it out completely. Doesn't say anything about it. Simply says, Chacham o tamid shegil hara. Now, hara in this category means severe, gamir, and severe. I mean, he's fully equipped, like gil hara. He's not a senator, maybe simply because there are too many people. He's waiting in line to get admitted. I mean, you only have 71 people there. But he is absolutely qualified to be in the Sanhedrin. The Rambam doesn't mention this at all. So the Lech Mishnah says, "How come?" And he says, "He doesn't know." The Rambam should have left it out. Now, if you look at Sefer Mitzvot of the Ramban that we mentioned before, he also doesn't mention this cloud. He simply says straight out, "Tamisha Gilora." Doesn't give any slugging in it. Now, if you look at the Gemara in Horios, the Yerushalmi, the previous page, page 16. You will find that there are, or seem to be, two opinions in the name of Rabbah as to what the Mishnah is talking about. And the first opinion says Gamir v'lo Savir, and Savir v'lo Gamir. But the second thing that says, like, who is the Mishnah talking about? Shimon ben Azai, who is definitely Gamir and Savir. So it was perfectly obvious that you have two days according to Rabbah, and the Rambam is going to the last day of it. So like in Nigad Amrit. There's no problem at all. In fact, the Gamir v'lo Savir, Savir v'lo Gamir is Nidche, because Rabbah comes along with another opinion. Now, this is perfectly obvious to me. My problem is I couldn't find anyone who said it. And it's such an obvious thing. It's so partial. It's clear that if no one says it, you begin to wonder who's making a mistake here. And I went through the entire, there's a big fat volume of Horios. You may have seen it. I forget what it's called, but I was about 29 different versions. And nobody mentions this. And so I was about to, this isn't a tshuva on that particular idiom, so I would leave it out. I mean, I don't normally do that, but the chovah. Until Baruch Hashem, I finally Rav Shofanati just said it.
Baruch Hashem?
Ha'ati. Who says it there in Hosot Mas. So, back away. Which one has to occasionally rely on one's intuition. If you work everything out, ask somebody else, etc. But just because nobody else says it doesn't mean you're necessarily wrong. I mean, maybe the, Elio Rava wrote in your day was destroyed. It was burnt in the fire. If you look at the end of Zohar Chaim, it was a note, Chavala Da'abdu. So if you're saying some Chiddush in your day, maybe the Elio Rava wrote it also, you'll never know, because the manuscript was destroyed. But that doesn't mean that you don't say something correct. So, anyway. Alright. Now back to what we're doing, which is the Ramban. Yeah, what is the Rambam? Alright, forgetting about asking questions what the Rambam says, let me tell you what the Rambam says. The Rambam doesn't say the same, the Rambam says the same thing it says. For various reasons. Number one, it's what he says in Sefer Mitzvahs. There's no particular reason to assume otherwise. Number two, the Chinuch quotes the Rambam up and down. The Chinuch quotes the Rambam in Perush Yom HaTorah. The Chinuch saw the Rambam perish on the Torah also. And he would have brought the Rambam here if it would have said something else, as he brings all the time. Number three, the tour brings the Ramban down and leaves out the Mitzvahs at the end, which would seem to indicate that not the Balaturim, you know, that's the Gematria, but there's a Perush HaTorah Aruch, which is for some reason printed separately now. And that brings down the Rashi and Rambam and Ibn Ezra. And that brings the Rambam down, leaves that last part out. I should also mention, by the way, that the Ramban here what page am I? Yeah, back in 8b. The Rambam says, Kol Shekain, this is the Chassidus, you should think this way. That's what the Kol Shekain is. And as he says, Shesh Halach Shov, he doesn't say, Kol Shekain, Shemom, Rimal, Yamin, Tri, Rimal, Smosh, Smosh. Now, look in the Ra'im, and you find that he quotes the Rambam as saying, Kol Shekain, Shemom, Rimal, Yamin, Tri, Yamin, Smosh, Smosh. But that's not what the Rambam says. It says, Kol Shekain, Shesh Halach Shov. You should think this way. It's proper to do so, indeed. It is indeed proper to think so, but it is not, in fact, making a statement of Matthias that there is no way for the Beis Din to be Torah. As the Rambam himself said, in a parish on the Torah himself, afilu amashmut datam natan lecha Torah, afilu yitu, it doesn't say, because they can't make mistakes, and three other languages in here, there is no reason whatever to start making machlokas, not only between the Rambam here and the Rambam Sefer Mitzvot, but between the beginning of the Rambam here and the end of the Rambam here, between the Rambam here and the Sefer Achinuch, who brings the Rambam now, is all one day. What the Rambam here adds on is the Minas Chassidus is don't assume a day mistake, assume you are the Amaris, which is definitely Emes. But he's not making a metaphysical statement that Chachamim can't make a mistake. When does he make that statement? It would be an Eidim Zomim. I'll mention this because it's cognitive, a very interesting matter. Turn to the next page 10. Right. Now, everyone knows the din of Eidim Zomim. Kasher asav, kasher zaman, lo kasher asav. Right? If the judicial wheels are still turning, so you find that they're Eidim Zomim, so they get it. If they've already, the din has already been executed, exacted on the basis of testimony, so then nothing happens. This raises the most amazing difficulties in Svara when it comes to why. Because if they went and murdered somebody by false testimony and they're zomimim afterwards, then why shouldn't they get an onesh? And they obviously don't. For a parish and look in the chinuch here and very different Rishonim bring the same idea. But I want to go into what the Ramban has to say here. It says as follows. Kasher Zamam, turn to the next page. Underlying words. Aval in the harad ruvei nachshov shahaya emet kol asher ha'idu alav. Harishonim, excuse me. Ki hu ba'avono meit. V'ilu haya tzadik lo yazvenu Hashem b'yadam. Kvo shma katub, lo yazvenu b'yado, v'lo yushenu b'mishapcha, v'od shlo yiten Hashem ha'shoftim ha'tzadikim ha'omdim lefonav l'shboch dam naki. Ki ha'mishpat l'elokim hu, u'bekev elokim yishpot. If Eidim Zomim killed somebody by the testimony and you find that there's only afterwards, assume the guy was guilty. Alright. Now, it doesn't mean to assume the guy was guilty in this particular case. I mean, you can have Eidim Zomim who testified that someone killed Chaim Yankel, and after they were killed, after the someone was killed, Chaim Yankel walks through the door. So obviously they didn't kill Chaim Yankel. The point is not that the point is not to assume that they didn't make that they were that the guy was Chaim Misa for this particular avon, but you assume Chaim Misa for some other avon, which makes it easier in one way and a lot more difficult in another way. As Rabbi Bechaya says, and so what? If it was Chaim Misa in some other avon, bigger, what do I care? I mean, why should the Yankel get away from this? Just because they borrow from his cabin. That's how it is. So here the Rambam would seem to be saying that they can't make a mistake. Because what's the second reason? First reason is that Kodesh Baruch Hu won't let an innocent guy get killed. Right now. And the second mistake, second statement is that he won't make the judges make a mistake. Lo yitain lakronim hatzadikim amdim lufanadu shpoch dam naki kim hashpat lakim lukarim tini yishpoch. Now, the first thing to be said is there's nothing we ever do with Lot Tassur, because we're talking about a specific din of bedding, a judicial process, and a process of capital punishment is not going to let the bedding spill dam naki, which is a particular nasty type of mistake. So even if you assume what the Ramban is saying is correct, it's no raya for lotus, there's nothing more lotus. There's no raya from here on the other one, which is really why I brought this back, because if I don't, somebody else will. So there's no raya, but even let's take the Ramban on his own terms and see what we can make do with this. It's a rather interesting statement, and there are all sorts of difficulties with it. And since I'm running out of time, I'm going to skip the major. First of all, Tosfot doesn't seem to agree with this. Look in Tosfot Chagiga, that's one of your sources here. And you'll see that they apparently never give the Ramban. Ramban is the case. But we don't have time to go into that. But what I would want to say is that, well, what about the famous case of Yehuda ben Tabai? Rebbe Nechama in Gaharaki Eid Zomein. You know that case. If you don't, I brought it down also. Sanhedrin number 12. Wait, hold it. That's Yushan. We'll get to that shortly. Where's the Babli? Maybe they didn't bring the Babli. Well, anyway, there is a case of Yehuda ben Tabai who killed a single Eid Zomein. He said, because the Tzidukim felt that the only time he killed the Eid Zomein was after reverse. We say Kasher Zomam, lo Kasher Asah. They can say Kasher Asah, lo Kasher Zomam. So he killed the Eid Zomein when it was still in the process of Kasher Zomam. So Tzidukim said, you can't do that. So Shimon Rav Shetach said, Rebbe Nechama, he didn't shaker dam naki, because you ate in Zomim and Chayv, and you're made with both of them. You did a single aid. You executed one aid, and that is against the law. And the rest of the time, Yehuda ben Tabai, the rest of his life he spent in visiting the grave and asking mechila from the Nirzah. Now, this would seem to be a mistake, but in fact there's no Kushan. I'll bring a Kushan to Ramban later, but this is not really a Kushan to Ramban, because we don't have time, but if you take a very good look at the sugya,
what Ramban
says, what Ramban says, he's saying but you're anticipating what I'm saying, which is that if you take a good look there and look in the mirror also, you find the fact that he was not going according to Bedin procedures. He was doing a harashah. Harashah is not a story altogether. That's where that called the shofim tzadikim, following the rules of the judicial procedure. Harashah, you can make mistakes. So that's really not a problem on the Ramban there. You can make a very nice diyuk as follows. If you take another close look at the Inyan, probably the Tzidukim themselves were of the opinion that you can kill a single Eid Zomein. Because the Chorot of Pshat is Kasher Asah, right? Where is the Kasher Asah? Asit lo Kasher Asah is the Mamla Sot L'Chaberal. So the Pshat of the Kotzuk would seem to indicate that you can kill a single Eid Zomein. We have in Kabbalah, it's only two Eid Zomein. So if you say that the Tzidukim themselves held that you can kill a single Eid Zomein, so then obviously Yehuda ben Tabai was Shoket Dam Naki, but he proved nothing. Because on the one hand, mostly Yilipim, by killing before the sentence was executed, by showing that it's Kasher Zamam, or Kasher Asah, but he was no Eketosam by killing a single one, because that was their sheep that you can kill a single one. So he's obviously not more stimulated to do him in this case. That's radical. On one hand, he was showing that going against them, and he was supporting their opinion. So that's obviously dumb nut. The difficulty with the Rambam here, which I have no explanation for, is in the Yerushalmi, page number 12, where you have the famous case Yehuda ben Shimon ben Shetach, who killed a lot of machshefos in Ashkelon, and some local people didn't like it. Bad for business, and they went and they were amazing. Shimon ben Shetach's son, Adim Zomim, showed up. Adi Sheker. Anyway, we don't even need Adi Zomim. Adi Sheker. Shimon ben Shetach's son was Chayim Mita, and it would not seem to be that Shimon ben Shetach's son was Chayim Mita for someplace else either. It was something else, rather. Now you can get away around this because the Eidim afterwards were Choser Abraham, and nevertheless we said we can't turn the dinner around because how it will look, etc. It's very difficult to be altogether. But Further on, at the bottom of the page, you have an outright case of the following. If we let him get away, then go and testify against him, we're going to get executed. They let's go and before he kills us, let's go kill him. Which is what they did. And Nigmar Dino Laheroi. It's been very dogged to claim Nigmar Dino, not mostly Nigmar, not that they didn't actually do it. And the law coming, David, when he said so and so, this is the Chassid Shal David. Chassid Shal David was judicially executed. I mean, you don't have to bring a riot from Karim Navarish because the Ramban was very careful saying, according to Shaftim at Tzadikim. Only if they're Shaftim Tzadikim, you, according to the Rambam in the Chumash, they can't make a mistake in Shaftim Tzadikim. But Beitin Shal David is done by Beitin Tzadikim. And here is, it seems to be a clear Gemara that you have a situation where they're Sheker that going through a judicial process. Someone innocent, Hasid no less, gets judicially executed. Sort of, I don't know, with the Ramban. But in any case, we've seen that it's not particularly germane to the general question of law. So, does someone have a question here? No? All right. So, the final question to answer, or matter to discuss here, is when does law sort of apply? Now, if you look at everybody, the Ramban and the Ramban, everybody, as you can imagine, they all mention the fact that it applies to the Sanhedrin Yashum Lishkar Agazis. As I brought down the sources, we won't bother, just look at them. You see them on sources number 20, 19, the Gemara, everywhere. Sanhedrin and Lishkar Agazis. Meaning not today. Who doesn't say that? The Chinuch doesn't say that. The Chinuch specifically says, and this is very important to know, and from the apparently the Chinuch is what the Chai Adam Kuf Chav Zion gets it from, that the mitzvah of Lo Tasur applies to the Chachmei Hadoros today. Page, still have 5 minutes to finish. Alright, page 3a. Ubechol dor v'dor gamtein shenishma l'chachamim l'nitzim. And all the generations. He says later on, in page 3b, he says it again back in Achrebim Latot, in the Mitzvah Ayin Chet, whatever it was. So the Chinuch says right out that this Mitzvah applies to the Delay called Doros. Where does he get it from? Well, it's Horus and Malik Amliya. The Sanhedrin was not sitting on Beit HaNagazi, it's just got a Gazi at that time. We're going back to the Sukkot in Rosh Hashanah. Take a good long look at it when you have a chance. Nevertheless, no one else says it. No one else says it. It's clear in all the other languages in Rishonim and the Chinuch himself. Milchus Chinuch, first he claims that the Rambam says it on Ibn Izdati. I can't find where the Rambam says it. The Rambam says the opposite every place. And the one place in Hagdolah Perish and Mishnayas, Mishnah Torah, which I brought down in one of these pages, I underline it where it would appear that it says that if you look closely, he doesn't say it. Because he brings that equipment that Rabbi Ashi, that's referring to, you know what I'm talking about, but look at it, you see the Rambam. Rambam doesn't say it. Nobody says it but the Chinuch, and therefore is a great Tirach in and the Chinuch as to what to, where he gets it from and whether it's reliable or not. But, yes.
All right, good for you.
Hold it. No, that doesn't help because Ramakom Hashem Harashem.
And then the Rashi, the Shmuel Ein Lachayel Shofei Sheb Yamecha.
Yeah, but that doesn't prove anything because that has to do with one generation of Sanhedrin, another generation of Sanhedrin. No, it doesn't tell him. Now that's another question altogether. The best shot in that is that, by the way, if you violate the Lota Sur in terms of Yumavatil and Yisud Rabbanim, it's Lota Sur. There's something else there, and there was a Stamei Chata Achei. Some Avera by some private Avera, not only by Avera, but the right of Lotasur. If you're okay to be a Rabbanim, then be a violation of Lotasur. But the Achorim said, I think it's a very good shot, it's probably what the Rabban intends. In any case, it's not germane to our consideration here. What is germane, what was I just saying before you said that? Yeah, I can bring in another day for the Chinuch. What's strange in the language?
Yeah.
No? What sage? Why did Rabbi Mandan Rachi? Because she said they called him the El Shoftim. It would seem to be a Rebbe, therefore a Shoftim, even when there aren't any Shoftim, meaning when there is no Sanhedrin. It's a nice explanation on the Anachomish. I shared a new Mahim with someone here mentioned. I applied to my grandfather, meaning there are people who live in one generation but are out of it and don't know it's fine. The Torah saying, God was Shafed Asher Yirim Yimahim, who knows what's going on, who is of that generation, who knows what's going on. And it's a mitzvah, and what's the word Asher? Could say Asher Yirim Yimahim, what's Asher Yirim Yimahim? Yeah, the mitzvah on the Shafed himself, Asher Yirim Yimahim, you Shafed, I better be Yimahim, or else don't rule. That is parenthetical. But, you have a very nice drash from El Shafed, which I suggested, and maybe what the Chinuch was referring to. Nevertheless, it's not found anywhere, and it's very difficult to build a halacha in the Sefer Chinuch on that case. Very difficult indeed. The second caveat is that all of this, according to everybody, including the Chinuch, applies only in Yom HaMadu to do with halacha, with Torah. Not Hanhaga. Everybody says that straight out, Re'isur Beheter, Bitzur Datenu. So getting back to the Zohar Europa, there was no suggestion anywhere whatever that Chachamim can't make, unfortunately, a mistake in matters having to do with Klal Yisrael, which is strictly outside the realm of Halach. It means Hanhaga. Certainly the whole discussion of the Surah has no relevance to that whatsoever. No one suggests it is. I don't know who suggested it. I mean, someone must, but I haven't been able to find it. since all I know is what is in the Gemara and the Rishoni, more or less, I don't know where current day common wisdom gets it from. That does not exist to the best of my knowledge. All right, so where we've been? Well, second. Yeah, we went there with the Ramban's Matthias question. The difference between Matthias and Hara. And that maybe Lotus Surah applies only to Hara, but the question of Matthias doesn't apply altogether. It's not because of Matthias isn't in the category of Hara altogether, perhaps. Now, it may be that this is what the Ramban is referring to in Hachashkagot Karzidal Halachagimu, which I don't think I brought the source. But I'll tell you what's there. He says, Horu Beitin Sheyatza HaShabbat Lefi Shenit Lefishit Kaseta Chama, the Dimusha Shaka Chama, they thought the sun went down, it's a cloudy day, like yesterday. Bachar Kach Zarcha, Ein Zahora'a Ela Ta'ut, Bekosha Samlacha Chayav Bechulu, Vachedi Mitiru Beitin Eishet Ishli Nase Lefisha Eidu Bifnehem Shemet Bala, Bachar Kach Ba Bala, Ein Zahora'a Ela Ta'ut, Bechulu. Now, all the Achronim want to know who needs this. Because the din is that if an individual does the Tihora's best in any case, the context there has been that he's Chayav. Has to bring a korban. Only if the tzibur does, then the bet can be a korban, not the individual. So who needs this? Shuvah Mishnah Lemelach Shem Lemelach Mishnah Perakei Alcha Heisha Filu Einat Taut Halo Yachid Shasab Orat Betin Chayav. All right. What I think the Rambam is saying is exactly what somebody said here. The difference between the Mitzvahs and Arav. That the point the Rambam is making Derech Agav, not for Derech Agav, is that when they more that the Shemesh Shaka or the Baal Mate, which is obviously the Mitzvahs in the question, because the clouds part, you see the sun hasn't gotten down, the husband shows up. That in fact, isn't Matthias, the Torah of Matthias is not Hara, and the Nafkamin is, in this case, even Amma Aris has no right to be Somach on Beit Din. You can't get out of here, you can't say to Beit Din, you saw the husband in the other room or something, you can't get out in time to come to the wedding or something. But you saw the husband, and you know he's alive, and you saw the sun is up. You are not permitted to follow the Ara, because that's not Ara altogether. So all the dealing we had to do before with the Chacham Shehil Ara, Nachagil Ara, has to do with Ara. But if it's a mistake, that's what the Rambam is saying here. Ein Ara Ela Tos. Not everything is in the category of Ara. Of course, it has to be pretty clear, like sun shining, or the husband showing up in the flesh. But
What case of Hara is not a case?
Any conceivable interpretation based on the Gilman Midos or anything else? But you're asking what Hara nowadays, what new Hara would be the case? And I don't understand the question. Any time that you want to, you have a new question and you want to try to figure out what the Hara is. It's certainly not a Matthias that you clear up Matthias showing up in the flesh. I mean, the Hara obviously is supposed to reflect through Matthias, but not necessarily. The only way you can access that Matthias is through Hara. We're talking about Matthias, you can access outside of Hara. I mean, anybody can. You want to be a Baal Dover to know that the husband is alive, you see it.
That's a return.
All right.